to be able to approach this word like a love story. Or like the love story that it is. I said that last time. I'm going to read this in the book. But it's just one big long love story from God to
us. Testing, check, check. Got it?
Good, good. Well, good evening. Trust everybody's doing well. We will, I received, sir, we will, next Tuesday, we were supposed to have class in Baton Rouge because of the Show Me Your Glory conference was supposed to start on Tuesday, but Apostle Change is going to start on Wednesday, so Tuesday we'll be here for class, all right? Just so everybody know that we'll be here for class. Last week we were together, we began to talk about the body, and we begin to make certain discoveries about the body, a different way of thinking about the body and its place and how God wants to use us. Last time we went to Romans, the 12th chapter. Matter of fact, we can start there again. Romans, the 12th chapter, and the first verse. Romans, the 12th chapter, and the very first verse. Because this scripture lets us in on a truth that will refute religion. Romans, the 12th chapter, first verse. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, I beseech you, brethren, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Bodies, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Now here it is, the Apostle Paul is telling us that we are to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. So here is a biblical truth that will refute a religious lie. God wants our bodies. He needs our bodies. Our bodies is the only thing that gives us legal right to be in the natural. If you don't have a body, you can't be here. Are you seeing this? And here God, I always thought this was funny that God would say, listen to me, that Apostle Paul would say, we ought to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, all sacrifices I've known have been dead. But here it is, Paul said that we ought to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So that means that God has need of our physical bodies. So if God has need of our physical bodies, then that means that we have to change the way we look at the natural body. It is not an enemy to God. The Bible says a carnal mind is enmity, Romans 8, against God. He never said that the body was an enemy against God. He said a carnal mind. Now, what's the difference? Why I'm saying that? Because a carnal mind will cause your body to become an enemy. Now, why? Because last class we talked about how our spirit is the king, our mind is the servant, and our body is the slave. So if our mind is carnal, that means our body is going to follow the direction of a carnal servant. So you're going to have a slave that will not follow the directions of the spirit. But nevertheless, our bodies are important to God. The anointing has to be housed somewhere. Jesus walked on the face of earth, Luke 4:18, he said, I'm anointed. What was he talking about? He was talking about his physical body coming in his anointed physical body coming in contact with other humans, making a difference in their lives. Are you seeing this? So the Apostle Paul is refuting. See, it's not going to be laws and rules that contain our bodies. See, that's what religion has tried to do. Religion has tried to make up a bunch of rules and regulations to try to control the flesh. That's not how the flesh is going to be controlled. Your flesh is going to be controlled because your mind is renewed. Why? Because your spirit is making your mind be renewed. That's what's going to cause your flesh or your body to fall in line with the word of God. That's what causes your body being able to become a living sacrifice. Are you seeing this? See, your body only knows how to do one thing. Please its desires. It doesn't know how to do anything else. Left up on its own to make its own decisions, the body's number one goal is to please its desires. That's it. It doesn't know how to live. It doesn't know how to do anything else. All it knows how to do is fulfill its desires. This is why we have to be in control of our feelings, because our feelings then causes our bodies to act a certain way. Are you seeing this? So how do I control my feelings? I control my feelings by how I think. How I control what I think? By my environment. Because my environment calls me to think a certain way, my thoughts cause me to feel a certain way, and my feelings cause me to behave a certain way. So now, if the desires of the body are comfort, that's how textbook talks about, comfort, food, and sex. So now, if my thought process includes overindulgence as any of those three, then my feelings are going to become overwhelmed, and that's how I'm going to behave. So now we see why pornography is such a powerful spirit. Because now my thoughts are consumed. If my thoughts are consumed, now I'm feeling a certain way. If I'm feeling a certain way, now I'm going to behave a certain way. So now my body, which is the slave, is only following the instructions of the servant, who is not following the instructions of the king. This is making sense. So conquering sin, you're not going to do it on your own. Overcoming sin is not going to be done by you, by yourself. It's going to be done with the help of grace. What grace does? Grace empowers you to do what you can't do on your own. So now when you begin to, Paul began to talk about that thorn in the flesh. He began to talk about that thorn in the flesh, and he asked God to remove it. And God told him, no, I'm not going to remove it, because my grace is sufficient. In other words, God wanted to teach the Apostle Paul. Listen to me, Internet. God wanted to teach the Apostle Paul how to rely on grace to empower him to overcome existing situations. So it's not you. It's not so much you trying to figure you got to change your behavior. That's the end results. No, you got to change your environment, which is going to cause you to change your thoughts, which is going to change your feelings, which is then going to change how you behave. So if you ever got a habit that you don't want, it's not going to start by you, I'm not going to do this no more. I'm not going to do this no more. No, it's going to start with you. Start with the environment. What is in my environment is causing me to think this way? So when you find that out, then you can control that thought, which is going to control that feeling, which now your slave, your body, is not going to be able to do what it wants to do. Are you seeing this? So now, if God is concerned with our bodies, it's not going to be religious rules that control our body. It's not going to be women. It's not going to be the not wearing of makeup. It's not going to be the long dresses. Gentlemen, it's not going to be keeping certain your beard groomed. None of that makes a difference. All those are outward appearances. All those things are outward effects. You got to have internal change before you get outward change. Are you seeing this? So our bodies are here to house the glory of God. We're the only creatures that can house the glory of God. No other creature can. We have a creature in the Bible that have talked. God have used the talk. We got the donkey. God used the talk. But that donkey couldn't house the presence of God. Only we can house the presence of God. Where is the presence of God housed? In your body. So now we have to change our perception about our physical body. When you change your perception about your physical body and that you are here, I'm bought with a price. It's 1 Corinthians 6, right? Verse 20. I'm bought with a price. Therefore, I glorify God in my body. In my what? Body. So now we have to change the way we perceive our flesh. Our flesh is not our enemy. Our flesh is not our enemy. A flesh that ain't doing right can be an enemy, but the flesh within itself is not an enemy. A flesh that ain't doing right is an enemy, but a flesh that ain't doing right is a flesh that's not being controlled by the servant, which is not being controlled by the king. Is that making sense? So now we have to change about the perception of our body, because it is impossible for God to use us if our bodies are not taken care of. Now, here's where people get overboard with it. They go over the top with this. Listen, everybody's not going to be the same. Everybody's not going to be the same size. That's just not going to happen. But if you don't take care of your body, then it'd be hard for you to house the glory of God. If you're always tired, if you're not eating right, because there are certain laws. You have to eat right for your body to get the right nutrients, get the right energy, get the right motion out of your body. If these things are not happening, then it's going to be very hard to house the glory of God. When God calls for you to do something, if you're tired, you can't do it. Am I right? If you're tired, you cannot do it. So we have to begin to train our bodies. You have to do some form of exercise. Let's be real. You have to do some form. You got to do something. If it's just getting out and walking 15 to 20 minutes, you got to do something. Because if you don't take care of your body, see, here's the thing. If you don't take care of your body, then it's going to be, I know people now come to church and cannot sit without going to sleep for 30 minutes. In church. So now you sleep, what you hearing? You ain't hearing nothing. And it could be in them 30 minutes that God gives you the answer to your very situation. But because I can't stay up, why? Because I'm not getting the proper rest. I'm not getting the proper amount of nutrients in my body. I'm not eating right. Because I'm not doing these things, now I can't function properly. God needs us to be strong. What I mean by strong? Just simply able to do what he's asking us to do. There are two major concerns. There are two major responsibilities concerning our bodies. One, to care for it. And two, to command our bodies. Remember now, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is a holy God, and he requires his temple to be holy so that he can move through it. So when we keep our bodies clean and in order, it's not just to look beautiful or handsome, but it's so that God can function through them without any hindrances. Outward appearance is not what God is looking for. The Bible talks about man looks on the outward appearance, the Lord looks on the heart. That's 1 Samuel 16. So it's not the outward appearance that he's looking for. It is your outward appearance. Can it do what he's asking it to do? Can the outward appearance, can you function? Dr. Thompson, there's a gentleman named Robert Laridon that did a study on the generals. And generals in the early 1900s, they had the great healing move. And one of them was Jack Cole. Jack Cole he had a radical ministry. I don't know if you ever heard of Jack Cole before, but in that who heard of Jack Cole had a radical healing ministry. I mean, he would just, in his meetings, you can see it on some of the archives he has, man had a tumor on his face. Jack Cole, you know, just walking in a gift of healing, just walk up to that. I mean, had a tumor on his face. He would walk up to the tumor and snatch the tumor off his face. Man got skin like baby skin, brand new. I mean, just all sorts of miracles, man. I mean, grab somebody by the arm and snatch them out the rear chin, push them, and they take off running. Just an amazing thing. But he died at 35. Why? Not taking care of the body. So now what? So now he lost his legal right to be here because he wasn't taking care of the thing that gave him a legal right to be here. Are you seeing this? And so you find another gentleman that I was reading about that was in the Coptic Church. I can't think. I think a prophet. I think his name Nathaniel Simmons. You look at this guy tape, you can tell he had an authentic anointing from God, and he was just different. And from what I read, he would do ministry, but didn't ever take time to take care of himself. And I think he died of cancer, but not going to get checkups to see what's going on. Nobody said you got to trust the doctors. But it's good to find out what's going on, because the Bible does say that every knee must bow at the name of Jesus. God gave him a name that's above all names. So if I can name whatever it is, that means Jesus' name is above it. So that means I can deal with it. But just not, he died early. Not taking care of yourself. So now, not taking care of yourself, you're losing your legal right to be here. So what good is a mind and a spirit without the body? Are you seeing this? So we have to care for it. And watch this. We have to not only care for the body, but we also have to command our bodies. We must present, when Paul talks about presenting our bodies to God. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. When you present something to God, do you want to present it any kind of way? Let's think about that. The Apostle Paul says we ought to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. So now here it is. God saying we ought to present our bodies to him. Do I want to present my body not prepared to fulfill what he's asking me to do? Because he said we had to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, meaning that everything in our bodies that we want to do with our bodies, we put those things on the side, because now we want to take our energies and we want to present our energies to him so that he can turn around and give us instructions on what to do. Now, when I present something to God, do I want to present something half-cocked? See, this is making sense. So now it's important that I take care of myself. It's important that I, you know, we men sometimes, we macho, we don't want to get checkups. I need to get a checkup. Are you seeing this? See, so that I can be aware of what my body is doing. Because I want to present the best thing I can to God. I don't want to present anything half-cocked to God. I don't want to spend all this time preparing myself spiritually only to be used 3 years. Because after 3 years, I done wore myself out. And now my body gone, wasted. I no longer have a legal right to be here. Listen to this. To offer a blemished, sickly animal to God in the Old Testament was an abomination. You go back and read in the Old Testament in Exodus, and when the law of God was being handed down, they couldn't just get any old animal. They had to go pick the best to make the sacrifice. Sick animals were not allowed to be sacrificed. Because why? It wasn't the best. Because when we make an atonement to God through these animals in the Old Testament, it was a slap in God's face for us not to present the best. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that you got to look perfect. That's not what I'm saying. Outward appearance. God ain't looking how you look. He looking at however you look, can he use you? Are you seeing this? Now, here's the wonderful thing about God. This is why I love that we're now talking about, that the apostle is now talking about the glory of God. Because see, the glory of God The purpose of miracles, the number one purpose of miracles is to bring everything in line with God and His original plan. So miracles are the only purpose of miracles. The only reason for a miracle is to bring back into God into line with God's original plan. So this is why I'm glad we're getting a chance to be exposed to the glory of God, so that miracles can happen in our bodies where we need them, so that our bodies can be brought back in line with God's original plan. So even though I may have made mistakes, I may have missed this, I may not be doing this right, I may have been born with this defect, or I may have this hereditary disease in my family, but because of the glory of God, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, which tore the curtain in two, which now released the presence of God into the earth realm, the glory of God, now miracles can happen to anybody at any time to deal with anything. So my body can be brought back in line with God's original plan. Are you seeing this? So if my body is not in line with God, if there's ailments in my body, now the healing power of God can get my body back in line. That's the beauty of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's because now if my spirit may be perfect, my mind may be working right, but if my body tripping, I can't do what God asked me to do. But now, because of the blood of Jesus, because of the stripes on His back, because of the miracle working power of God, my body can be brought back in line with the will of God. Are you hearing this? Jesus is our example. We must always remember that He was always on the move. So that means Jesus had to have a healthy body. Because Jesus pretty much walked a lot of places He went to. There wasn't no cars. And them guys traveled. I mean, them guys take boat rides for days and ride chariots and all that. That's energy. They had to be in shape. And so nowadays, for us to house the presence of God, we have to make sure that we're taken care of and we take pride in what God has created. So many people don't take pride in what God has created, and so we eat anything. Now, don't come under the condemnation because of what you eat. It's just, here's the word that we always like to use, moderation. You can't eat chocolate cake every day, even if your body wants to. But sometimes two things we have to do. We have to care for the body, and we have to command the body. Sometimes you got to tell a body, no. We have to make our bodies obey. Why we have to make our bodies obey? Because it's a slave. You have to make your body obey because it's a slave. You can't beat your body into subjection. You have to get your mind right, and your mind have to make the body obey. See, if the body doesn't have the mind to tell it what to do, it's going to figure out on its own what to do. And it's only going to do one of three things, filling one of those desires. I need to be comfortable, I need food, and I need sex. That's it. That's what the body's saying. That's what the body focuses on. The body don't know anything else. And so now we have to have our mind renewed with the Word of God to be able to control. So we have to command our body. The flesh does not naturally want to obey. We must train it to obey. If we think God would always give us instructions that are easy on our fleshly desires, you better think again. You better think again. Sometimes there are things that we like to do, and God will say, stop doing it. Why? Because it's taking your attention from what you're really here to do. And sometimes we have to make tough decisions. Once again, you have to command your body. God is not trying to be cruel when He does that. He is just trying to get you to realize that your body is not the king, that your body is the slave. Go with me to,
I think it's, get my history, is it, I think it's 1 Corinthians. Yeah, 9. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. First Corinthians 9, verse 27. It's Paul talking. Paul said, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, we got a lot of preachers dealing with this. Oh, we got a lot of preachers dealing with this. Paul said, I bring my body, I keep my body, and I bring it under subjection. Paul say, so that when I preach to somebody else about right from wrong, then I won't turn around and be a hypocrite. Paul said, I bring my body under subjection. Nobody else going to do it. Just like you have to present your body a living sacrifice to God, you have to bring your body under subjection, which means you have to command your body. No. Sometimes you got to talk to it out loud. No, you're not going to do this. Or yes, this is what you're going to do today. Yes, you're going to sit your behind here and pray. Yes, you're going to read this meditate, this daily meditation. Yes, you're going to read this chapter. Yes, you're going to read this passage of scripture. Your body might be screaming, I don't feel like it. Yes, you're going to do it. Listen, let's be real. Your body does not automatically want to obey God. So you have to make it. It is a slave. Once again, the body just don't want to fulfill those three desires. So you have to make it do it. You know you got to pray. Sit right here and you're going to pray. You're going to pray. You're going to pray these 15, 20 minutes. You're going to pray this half hour. Or you're going to pray this hour. Oh, yes, sir. You're going to sit here and do this. Yeah, talk to your body. Because if you don't, your body going to talk you out of it. I don't feel nothing. I don't care if you don't feel nothing. We're not moved by our feelings. If we cannot take authority over the things of our bodies, there is no way we'll be able to have the responsibility to have authority over the greater powers of the Spirit. If you can't control your body, Luke 16, turn there. Luke 16, watch this. Luke 16, verse 11. Here's Jesus talking. Now watch how Jesus compare the natural and the supernatural. He said, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. We're just talking about money. Let me paraphrase this. If you can't control your body, then how am I going to trust you to operate in the supernatural? If I can't get you the simple task of controlling yourself, then what makes you think I'm going to give you the power to deal with stuff that you can't control? Is this making sense? See, a lot of times we ignore our bodies, and a lot of times because we have no discipline, we wonder why God won't use us in a greater fashion. It's because there's no discipline. Here's why some people can't get no more money than what they have. Because if you act like this with what you got now, if I give you more, it's just going to amplify it. Are you seeing this? So Jesus is saying here, Jesus said, if I can't get you to handle the unrighteous mammon, if I can't get you to handle the natural my way, if I can't get you to handle the natural my way, then I know you can't handle more power. I know you can't handle the true riches. I know you're not going to be able to handle it because you can't handle yourself. You can't handle the slave. The slave is running the house. Is that making sense?
Go to Luke, the fourth chapter. The author did a good job in using these examples. You'll see them when you read your book. Mark, the fourth chapter. Luke. It's Luke. You're right. It's Luke. Go to Luke, the fourth chapter. It is Luke. Thank you. Now, watch this now. Let's start at verse 1, because I want you to see how. And this is twofold, because how Satan got dominion in the natural was because of Adam and Eve not being able to command their bodies. All right? So watch what the Holy Spirit does. Verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. All right, it's a setup. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. It's a setup. And when they were ended, he was what? Hungry. So it's a setup. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made what? What that has to do with physical body? The first temptation that Jesus had to face and defeat was to conquer his natural body. Why? Because that was the very first temptation that Satan brought to Adam and Eve that they failed. Because if you remember in Genesis, I think it's the third chapter, it begins to talk about how she saw the fruit and how beautiful it was, how it was pleasant to the eye, and it became appealing to her. That is an attack on the natural body, which Adam and Eve failed. So here it is, Jesus, in verses 3 and 4, is facing that same temptation. Watch this. It was almost like God was playing with Satan, saying, you don't realize who I am. I'm going to take my son, who's full of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit take him on your turf. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit take him on your turf. Then I'm not going to let him eat nothing. 40 days, ain't nothing. Then I'm going to turn him over to you and let's see what happens. Turn him over to say, first thing Satan said, if you're the Son of God, let these stones be made bread. Jesus said, we ain't doing this. You see this? He says he was able to command his body. He was able to take authority over his body. Other words, it was symbolic because he was putting the body back in its place as a slave. Because all before, the body was the very thing causing sin to be prevalent in earth. Jesus had to pass the test of being responsible to say no to his flesh when his flesh was under tremendous pressure to yield to temptation. All of us have to face that. Then the Bible says there's no temptation that's uncommon to man. In other words, somebody done faced it before and defeated the temptation. Every temptation you can face, God has prepared somebody before you that has faced it and has defeated it. So if they could say no or yes, you can too. Are you seeing this? Go with me again to 1 Corinthians 9 chapter. Sometimes you may have to make a verbal loud no. You may have to say no, we're not doing this. No, I'm not going here. 1 Corinthians 9. He said, but I keep under my body. Look what he says. I keep it under. Other words, I don't give it a chance to get loose. He said, watch this. He said, I keep my body under and bring it into subjection. I keep my body under. I don't ever let it think it's nothing else but a slave. I don't ever get, see, this is why you have to constantly spend time with the Word of God. This is why you have to constantly, listen a minute, this is why you have to constantly spend time with the presence of God. So that you can constantly remind every, your tri-type being is all of its functions. You remind your spirit, you king, remind your mind, you the servant, you remind your body, it's a slave. Paul said, I keep my body under. In other words, Paul said, I'm keeping it in its place. I'm keeping it as a slave. I'm not giving it a chance to even for one moment to, you can't trust your flesh. You can't go days without spending time with God and think you ain't gonna sin. Oh, yes. You go days without spending time with God, your body gonna rise up and think it's becoming the king. Every time. David. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Right? But as soon as David wasn't where he was supposed to be, because why? He was lazy that morning. He didn't go to battle. Because he was lazy that morning and seen Bathsheba. Am I right? And caused havoc in his house that lasted for two generations. Even led to the disintegration of the rulership, the kingship. Because he left his body unchecked one moment. Are you seeing this? So we have to, I'm finishing here, we have to care for our bodies and we have to command. If you don't do those two things, you're gonna have the inmates running the asylum. You're gonna have the body who is crazy, out of control, running things. If you don't learn how to care for it and you don't learn how to command it. And once again, sometimes it takes a verbal. No, you ain't doing this today. Yes, you're gonna sit right here and you're gonna pray. Yes, you're gonna read today. Yes, you're going to, you, hands, lift your hands up. Hands go in the air. Some of y'all don't believe your body. Your body talk to you. Your body talk to you. Your body say, I don't really feel like doing this right now. I don't feel like praying right now. I really don't feel like walking in love right now. I feel like cussing this person out. That's your body. Your body won't retaliate. Your body, I'm really not feeling this right now. But you have to learn to command. If you ever get that concept of commanding your body. See, a lot of people who have sin issues, it's not so much that they are sinful people. They have a command issue. They have an issue with commanding the body. And so we're going to start getting into the next chapter. We're going to start getting into the different aspects of the mind. Because there are five components, and when we start talking about these five components, you'll see how you'll see where you fail in decision making, and you'll see how you succeed in decision making. Every mistake you made in decisions that you make, you'll see with these five components, you see where I made a mistake. You see where I messed up. Because when you the Bible says, "In all I get understanding." When you begin to understand these five components of the mind, then your spirit can more effectively use your mind. And your mind then turns around and become effective in controlling the slave. Are you hearing me? Well, you all have a good night. We'll continue there next week. You go right ahead. I know you got some stuff. You can go ahead and cut it. Yep. Yep. Yeah, here, email them.